reading today is Luke 4, verses 14 through 21. Let us listen for the word of God. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Hear what the Spirit is saying.
How about that? That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, Stanley. Thank you, choir. Thank you, all of you who helped us to sing that wonderful piece. Let's pray together. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Breathe on us, send your spirit upon us, anoint us, open us right now, God, to receive all of your life and your love and to be filled with your light so that we might be ready to more faithfully and fully live for you. Use what I offer to that end, I humbly pray. Amen. Should you live for your resume or your eulogy? Should you live for your resume or your eulogy? That's the question driving a short TED talk given by journalist David Brooks a couple of years ago. Brooks describes resume virtues and eulogy virtues. He says the resume virtues are the ones you put on your resume, which are the skills you bring to the marketplace. The eulogy virtues are the ones that get mentioned in the eulogy. They are deeper. Who are you in your depth? What is the nature of your relationships? Are you bold, loving, dependable? Brooks further describes the tension that exists between the worldly, ambitious, external side of our natures, those things that tend to show up on our resumes. He contrasts that with what he calls the internal or more humble side of our nature that wants not only to do good, but to be good, to live in a way internally that honors God and creation and all our possibilities. He says that most people, including himself, would say that the so-called eulogy virtues are the most important. But Brooks admits, are they the ones that I think about the most? The answer is no. Now, some might want to debate the categories that Brooks uses, but it seems to me that as we continue to explore this theme of blueprints for our lives, the questions and issues that he raises are helpful. Friends, today is January the 31st. It is the last day of January. How did this happen? We get 11 more of these things. 11 more months. How and where will our time and energy be spent? What will you, over the course of these next 11 months, what will you think about the most? The way we answer these questions for ourselves and for Foundry Church shape the blueprints that will be our guide through the rest of this year. These clarifying questions help us to zero in on what we value, on what we're trying to create, who we're trying to be, and whether we are living for our resume or our eulogy. The gospel today provides the answers that Jesus gave as he began his public ministry. We pick up the story right at the point after Jesus returns from the wilderness. On that journey, Jesus wrestled with issues of identity, and the devilish voice tempted him to focus primarily on the resume virtues, things like material possessions and power and prestige. But Jesus resisted temptation and emerged from that wilderness place knowing who he was and what his life was about. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he returns to his home church and goes to his home place for Sabbath observance. The words Jesus reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah reveal his clarity of identity and purpose. Jesus is the Lord's anointed one who is sent to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now notice, you see, that this is the blueprint for his life, the plans that outline his purpose and his values that defined how he will spend his time. The blueprints of Jesus' life did not include a popularity room. They didn't include space for domination or exclusion or greed or revenge. There was no room for any of that in the blueprints of Jesus' life. The blueprints of Jesus' life were filled with things like liberation and healing. That's what gave shape to his life. That's what guided his life. Things like patience and kindness and humility and compassion and love and courage and the strength that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit. There were big rooms for that stuff. Jesus gave himself to the larger kingdom vision of God, and that vision provided the focus and the framework for his whole life. Jesus shows us a life that rejects selfish ambition and accepts God's call to live for others, particularly those on the margins. Jesus shows us what it looks like to lose your life in order to find it. Trusting God's call and God's way, Jesus is able to live a deeply integrated life. A life in which his external ambition and activity is driven by and reflective of his internal values. As we think about our own lives at this relatively early point in a new year, I invite us all to think about whether our external life reflects our internal values. If someone were to draw blueprints to describe the way that you spend your time and your energy and your money, what would that picture reveal? What gets the most space? Or what is assigned the best materials? If all your life was sketched out on paper, would you like what you see? Would you be satisfied? What would an objective observer looking at that sketch deduce your purpose to be? What values would they see taking shape in the blueprints of your life? Well, thanks be to God, the work of integration and purposeful living is always a work in progress. Amen? You can take a breath. Woo! You don't have to have it all done. And we never do. It's always a work in progress. Jesus shows us the final vision. That's what we're always working toward, but we're always on the way. It's always a work in progress, but regular review at the turn of the year, for example, or on a birthday or an anniversary, or during the season of Lent that we're given annually, which, by the way, begins 1 week from this Wednesday. That's a great time to do a regular review of these questions, to really look at your life. We can think about in this practice what needs to be shifted or created or refreshed so that our external and our internal lives become increasingly aligned. If we're willing to engage in such honest reflection, then we can draw up new plans. We can create new blueprints to guide us in our quest to create the life that increasingly reflects our most cherished values. As we move into this new year as a congregation, as Foundry Church, turning from our bicentennial celebration to the next century that stretches out before us, it's important for us to think about the blueprints for our future. Since my arrival a year and a half ago, I've been engaging in audit work, formally and informally, the kind of audit that looks at where our external practices and systems and schedules are aligned with our internal values and where there's some dissonance. Friends, a great, great gift to me and to anyone who has any relationship to Foundry Church at all is that we know who we are. We know our purpose. We know our call. It is clear. And another added bonus as we celebrate this gift is that who we are and what our call is, I would suggest, has an awful lot in common with Jesus' calling and way of being and life. Jesus was about healing and liberation, about inclusion and justice, about love. And what is it that we are called to do? What is our mission? We are called to love God, to love each other. And what's the last part? To change the world. Love God, love each other, change the world. We know who we are. We know our purpose. And in every Sunday worship guide at the back, you will find our core values. They're printed every week to remind us of those values that we are striving to embody in and through all that we do, to bring our internal values in line with our external practice is our goal. We know who we are and what we value. Do you know how many churches don't have those things? There are a lot of churches that if you said, what are you about as a church? What is your purpose? What is your goal? They would not be able to tell you. And then their new pastor would have to show up and spend 5 years helping them figure that out. Well, thanks be to God, we know. So now we just get to do the next part. Amen? And what that next part is, because we know who we are and what we value, the work really is to determine the plans, the blueprints, if you will, that will support and strengthen and facilitate the faithful expression of our purpose. Our vision, which was discerned over the time that I've been here through a number of conversations, both one-on-one and communal conversations, provides specifications for where we need to invest, where we need to build out in terms of our shared life. It's the broad plan for how we'll focus our activity so that we live out our mission. And our vision is simply this, to be an intentional covenant community that helps people of all ages connect with God and with one another, that calls and equips and sends and supports spiritual leaders to serve the church and the world, that practices radical hospitality and inclusion, and that builds partnerships in mission both locally and globally to create beloved communities of racial and economic and social justice. That's our vision. Healing and liberation. Loving God, loving each other, changing the world. It's all there. And I have to tell you that, thanks be to God, so much of our shared life is aligned with our calling, with our vision, our purpose, and our values. Our 2016 budget is aligned with the vision. Do you know how many churches don't do that? Hello. We are trying. We may not be fully there yet, but we are trying to bring all of the things that we do and the really concrete, nitty-gritty ways that we live out our life together in line with this great call and our purpose and our vision to be who we say we want to be. The other things that we're doing, the addition of 2 full-time directors for family ministries and connecting ministries. And can I just tell you how thrilled I am that we are growing close to finally having both of those positions filled, thanks be to God. I am so happy and excited about developments in servant leader recruitment, our upcoming scholar in residence program, upcoming volunteer and mission trips to Baltimore with the churches who were most deeply engaged in work following the unrest after Freddie Gray. Friends, so much of what we do day in and day out is aligned with our vision and mission. I give thanks to God for the incredible integrity that Foundry Church exhibits. I give thanks to God for that. But as with all of our lives, there's always places that need some work, right? There are always those places that we do need a new plan, some new blueprints, some new energy. We know that there is work to do. We know that we need to set some concrete, measurable goals within the framework of our vision. We know we need to consider how to connect more meaningfully with our growing online congregation. Hello, friends. You are part of this family. We want to know you and support you on your journeys even more meaningfully. We know that we need to offer more opportunities for study and fellowship. We know that we need to teach the meaning and expectations of the beautiful covenant that we share as Christian community. We need to improve so many things. We could name it. And if we really, here's one thing, if we really want to help people connect, then we need to figure out how to maximize Sunday. Because Sundays are the day when we have the most Foundry folks all together in one place. We come from all over the DMV, friends. And so Sunday is this day where we look around and all of a sudden Foundry's shown up. What a gift. We need to do our very best with this time, with this space, to help people connect in meaningful ways, to go deeper and to know more people. And that might mean that we'll have to think about and even do some reconfiguration of our Sunday schedule. Some real stuff, you see. All of these things that we are doing, that we need to do, we know we need to do, they're all part of the blueprints that create space for us to love God and to love each other and to change the world in more and more faithful ways. And if we take our cue from Jesus, we're reminded that if we are to be truly integrated and aligned with the things that matter most of all, then our focus cannot be only on our personal, self-focused preferences and desires. Our work is to give ourselves to the larger kingdom purposes of God, which will mean necessary sacrifices and compromise. We'll be asked to give up things that work for us in order to make space for others to be able to connect with God or with each other. We'll be asked to participate in the hard and exciting work of discernment and change for the sake of the larger mission. Just as we're living through the dust and noise and inconvenience of construction for the sake of creating renewed spaces for more meaningful and warm hospitality and connection. You know, I hear and sense a lot of energy around the work that we need to do, around opportunities to strengthen our shared life as Foundry Church. You know, people at Foundry have a lot of thoughts and ideas and suggestions. I bet you're really surprised, right? But it's a great blessing. There's energy, there's thoughts, there's ideas, there's a desire for us to do that which we've been called to do, and to do it more and more faithfully and well. That's a gift, and I celebrate that, and I look forward to seeing the ways that you and I together will stretch ourselves and give more of ourselves and even lose our lives a little bit in order to find the even more integrated, purposeful life that God has in store. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, encouraging us to live out eulogy virtues, or maybe better, kingdom virtues, as persons and as a congregation. And the really good news is that the Spirit does not just hang out on the sidelines encouraging us, which would be nice, but instead the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, is within us, is moving around among us and filling us so that we can actually create and then really implement beautiful, purposeful, life-changing, kingdom-inspired plans. I am super psyched about what the Spirit is doing and will do in and through you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Friends, before we have our time of offering, I know this was announced last week, but I want to make sure that we are all aware so that we can continue to be in prayer. Gaines Bladesdell, one of our own, son of Nancy, Gaines' partner died on January the 13th. Bryn Kelly, there's a memorial service scheduled for this Saturday. at Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City. And Nancy, we want you to let Gaines tell Gaines that we love Gaines, and our family is surrounding him in prayer and all of the LGBTQ community. Friends, as we prepare our hearts and minds to receive our offering, we know that giving is an act of worship. And one of the ways that through your generosity, that you help us with our confirmations. We are working with and training and nurturing a brand new generation of disciples. And your generosity helps to support the ongoing mission and ministry of our church and helping us also reach out to our confirmands and to provide the needed resources for this season. The choir will sing, our ushers will come, and you are invited to give as God has so richly blessed you. Present these tithes and offerings. May your hand be pressed upon them and expand it for kingdom building. Amen.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and power and energizing spirit fall upon you and bless you and fill you to go into a world where people are desperate for you to be God's people. Go and show them what God's life looks like. Go in peace and go in power. Amen.